webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Kline online.
God, I love that. Thank you, Robbie Moore. And greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Kline online. It's Thursday, April 21st, 2011. The only birthday of James Pep Washburn, 2-0-11 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this Thursday night edition of the Gospel Revolution. Glad to have you with us. One day late, for those of you that are listening to the archive, it doesn't make a difference to you, but it made a difference to us and those that listen around the world live, and we're glad for your patience. We're glad to have you along with us. We will be informing you shortly about why things were delayed. But without any delay, let us go to the man clearing his throat, having a beverage, in beautiful Houston, Texas, where I was a week ago yesterday. I know exactly where he is. I know exactly where he's sitting. I know the concave of his couch. Please welcome the legendary Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn.
Hey.
And speaking of birthdays, goodness, it's been birthday week. Yesterday was Jeff's birthday. Happy belated. And I didn't realize Pep's birthday, which, happy birthday, Pep, is the same day as my youngest daughter, who is 25 today.
Wow.
Happy birthday, everybody.
How does it feel to have a youngest daughter a quarter century old? You are old.
Yeah, I know. That is a reflection for sure. And
well, speaking of old, on the way to taking my youngest son Isaac this afternoon to the airport, and he is en route as we speak, flying the friendly skies to SoCal to visit his older brother Jake.
Oh, wonderful!
Yes, somehow, and I'm not exactly sure, but Pep's name came up in the conversation on the way to the airport. And, you know, when we named Isaac, we did not realize that Yitzhak, which is Hebrew for Isaac, means laughter. And this kid can be a hoot without even trying. And he is a laughter personified in a lot of ways. And without missing a beat, I mentioned Pep Washburn, and he said, he looked at me, he said, "Pop, he's still alive?" I said, "Yeah, he's one of my BFFs, you know. He's still kicking."
Yes, he sure is. He's kicking and making an impact in the world.
No doubt, sure. No doubt. He's finished his book. He's looking for.
He has.
Yeah, he's looking for book agents for his gospel themed novel. Maybe we'll hear from him tonight, but we want to hear from you tonight. Regardless, we are coming to you live and direct from the Bay of the Holy Spirit studios here in Tampa Bay, Florida. Give us a buzz. Sean is waiting. He is ensconced and waiting for your call at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. If you're calling outside Canada or the United States of America, you can give us a call at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. It is about 5 minutes after 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the USA, and if you are listening at that time, that is your cue to give us a call right now at those numbers, 800-436-3260 or 813-425-5773. Well, I can tell you, gentlemen, and ladies who are logged on, that we will be going overtime tonight, I have no doubt. The amount of emails that we have, I'm going to say this right now. We've always said on the webcast that we will answer every email. And I cannot promise that anymore. There's too many. We just have this brief time once a week, and we will get to them as we can, I promise. And we may have to do an email extravaganza again. But between the calls and the emails, it's a challenge. So we'd love to extend to more than one webcast a week. We'd love to do it every freaking day. But, you know, that depends on the availability of beautiful humans like Sean, finances, and the rest. But are you quenched now? Is your thirst quenched?
It is.
Good, good. I think I'll take a drink. Let's do a sociable, everybody. Lift whatever you got before you. I will have a cocktail. You will have whatever you have.
Yummy.
We would love to do this more than once a week. We could do this every day, of course. The gospel is inexhaustible. It is both infinite and finite, being the truth. Truth is both finite and infinite. It goes on forever. Michael and I and many of the gospel revolutionaries speak of the gospel every day, and it thrills our souls, and it saves our souls. It renews our minds, cleanses us from all the garbage of the world and from religious mindsets. And we would love to do it every day. So the point of that, Michael, is we will get to emails as we can, but it's a bit much these days.
Yeah, because we get some really excellent emails. There's no doubt about that. And all of them deserve the maximum of attention. But we will do our level best to respond to them, even if we don't respond to them on the air.
Point well taken. And the man who will respond to most, if not all, is listening ensconced in his digs in Lake Halitosis, Florida, the aforementioned birthday boy, Jeff Robertson. And let me add my birthday greetings to the Secretary of Defense of the Gospel Revolution and our administrator, and hoping that he treated himself to something better than Natty Light yesterday, because that is nasty stuff. And many happy returns of the day, Jeff Rowe. You know, a lot of the folks wish Jeff a happy birthday, which we appreciate. And we've got some more family business as well. So those of you guys that are new or logging on for the first time, please bear with us. We will get into the meat, if you will, of the gospel as we continue on the Gospel Revolution webcast. But we want to wish our best wishes to our dear friend and brother in crime out there in, speaking of SoCal, in Garden Grove, California, our senior California correspondent, Richard Mull, the stand-up comedian of the Gospel Revolution, who's undergoing some pretty serious medical procedures right now, and we just want to extend our thoughts and our love towards Richard, and he knows we love him, and he knows we can't do it without him, and we just we love that guy.
Yep, no doubt. Richard's been a very consistent part of the gospel. Goodness, I can't even go back the number of years. I can tell you that of the participants in the meeting where I taught on the scriptures in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that of the people who attended there, Richard is the only one out of that whole group who is still a part of the Gospel Revolution that I am aware of. I don't want to speak absolutely about it because I'm but he is the only one that I'm aware of that's still around. But he was he flew in from Southern California for that very fateful week where I taught. I, for some reason, don't ask me why, I decided it would be a good idea to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and teach Rhema students and T.L. Osborne students and Oral Roberts students that the scriptures were not the New Testament. And I took 6 hour and a half, at least hour and a half sessions to explain the point. So So now, why I thought that was the best idea in the world, I'm not real sure.
Those names, just for you folks that aren't familiar with those names, it would be akin to somebody flying into Mecca and having students of Osama bin Laden and all the wacky people that believe in Sunni Islam to come in, or Wasabi Islam, to come in and to hear them be told that the Quran is not the word of God. That is what it would be akin to.
That is paramount to that, yes, no doubt. It was, you know, I look back on it, it was definitely a turning point. It was a devastating turning point financially. I mean, we took oh my gosh, you talk about a hit. We had a guy in Canada who had committed $3,000 to advertising, and we spent the $3,000 on advertising, doing billboards throughout Tulsa, these small billboards, but throughout the city, with these comments from the Gospel Revolution about tithing, that Jesus fulfilled the tithe, and Jesus fulfilled the law. This stuff was all over Tulsa, and and I'm not even sure what we put underneath it. I don't know if it's Gospel Revolution at all at the time, directing people to the website. And of course that guy who committed that $3,000 totally reneged on his commitment. So we not only wound up in debt to the hotel, we wound up in debt to an advertising agency, and of course, when we came out with this understanding about the scripture, we lost again another chunk of support you can kind of go back and quote the New Testament, and from that day followed, many went their own way.
Exactly. Well, you know, that's actually, I mean, that is the example that Jesus set forth, is gather a large crowd, Michael, and then freak the hell out of them, and then they'll all go away. It works really well. Michael Williams, the greatest.
It worked well for me.
Yes, exactly. Michael Williams, the greatest emptier of churches since Jesus Christ himself. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution webcast Thursday night. Glad to have you along with us. And, Richard being the only one that was left behind from the Tulsa, we have to say that the cream always comes to the top. And
that's for sure.
Our best wishes are, of course, with Dickie Mull, and we love him. And
a dear, dear friend.
Yeah, we will be in touch, and we look forward to him being in touch. One of the funniest men on the face of the earth.
Nobody forgets Richard.
No, and
once you've met Richard, you will never, ever forget him.
With one of the most wonderful hearts ever.
Yeah.
Let us go to our first caller tonight, which we are happy to welcome online from the great city of Little Rock, Arkansas. Let us go to Doug Bowman. Doug!
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, Doug.
Hello. I'm doing fine. Glad to talk to you guys.
We're glad to hear from you. What's up?
Well, I don't call very often. I'll just call and check in to see how you guys were doing. Wanted to ask a few questions, if I may.
Yes, please.
Is there, do you guys have like a list of, that's available to the members or to the folks that subscribe, that gives information on where other people live? So, you know, other people that are like-minded that maybe you could get together with, you know, say, I live in Little Rock and I don't know of anybody.
Yeah, there's nobody in Little Rock, Doug. You're the only one that believes in the gospel in the entire city. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there is, but I just don't know.
All right,
here's
what you do. We've done this many times without success. Just go to the gospelrevolution.com website, and in the upper left-hand mm-hmm. corner is our office number, and call Jeff, and he will be happy to look up anybody that is in your neck of the woods to put you in touch with them. And yearly we have a Gospel Revolution convention somewhere, which you will be notified of. Do you get the e-newsletter?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll know about that. That's another great way to meet people. And that's the best way. Or you, if you want to just email, you can just email to freedom@gospelrevolution.com, and we'll get you out that information.
Okay. Cool.
Anything else, bro?
Well, I want to give a little testimony, if I could.
Please. Preach it, brother.
I have to tell you, Mike, I've been listening to you a long time, man. I started listening to you when you were, before you began preaching that, everybody is.
Yeah,
included,
it's been a few years then.
Yeah,
boy,
it's been a while.
You go back as far as Richard Mull does, that means.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Who is that?
Richard Mull, the Gospel Revolution senior correspondent from SoCal, Southern California, that we were talking about.
Oh, I see. But anyway, a guy gave me a tape. I guess it was the mid-90s of Mike. And I've forgotten which series it was. I was going through a lot at that time. And just lived with a lot of fear in my life. It was just, it was almost paralyzing at times because, I was a Christian and I went to a semi-charismatic type church. Believed in grace, but, there was always things you had to do to make sure God was going to take care of you, I guess I lived in a lot of fear at that time because, even, say, moving across town into another house, I would get sick at my stomach because I was fearful that I was making the wrong decision. And
wow.
Since I was making the wrong decision, I was going to get, I was going to get punished for it. So I had a real hard time making decisions because I always felt like I was going to make the right one and get punished for it. So every time things would come up like that, I would get really anxious. I didn't realize that what it was at the time, but I'd get real sick. Even going on vacation with my family, I would get sick because, I get depressed and feeling like, maybe I'm going to get out, somewhere in the remote areas of the country and something's going to happen and something's happened to my family and I'm going to be punished. I know this all sounds...
No, Doug, what I was going to say was thank you for sharing that because there's so many people around the world, brother, the world that can so relate to exactly, and including the two guys you're talking to directly right now, who can totally relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it was absolutely paralyzing to me. And I remember, I remember we moved into a house. There was a guy that lived next door with a big backyard with a fence and a couple of dogs in there. And I said, what if I get over there? The dog gets out and hurts my children and stuff like that. I know you know what I'm talking about, but a lot of people probably don't. But it was almost obsessive. You know what I'm saying?
No, it wasn't almost obsessive. It was obsessive. This is what religion does to people. This is what legalism does to people. It makes people obsessed with stuff like this.
Oh my God! Yeah, and they diagnosed me with obsessive compulsive disorder because of these obsessive thoughts.
Sure they did.
And but I want to tell you. The gospel freed me, from all that.
Oh,
because
my.
When I realized that it ain't got nothing to do with me, it has everything to do with what he did. I mean, my righteousness is not because of me. It's because it was given to me. And, when I realized that, when that sunk in, and I think it was Romans 1:17 that kind of did it for me. It said, it's not my righteousness anyway. I don't deserve that in and of myself. He gave it to me free. So he's the one that made me free, not me. So
exactly.
I guess when I realize that, I can make mistakes now. I can mess up.
Yeah.
I travel all the time. I'm an engineer. I do grid.
Doug? I think we lost Doug, Sean.
Yeah, let's get Doug back on. Yeah. That's tremendous.
Can you call him back, Sean? We got his number on the phone. I think his cell phone dropped out. Oh, my God, Michael. I mean, you talk about being able to relate to that.
Yeah. You know, this is if people want to know why I do what I do, this is it. You don't need to understand anything else about me or about why I do what I do. This is it. This type of pain and this type of suffering can only be brought on by religion. It can only be brought on by Christianity, and it can only be relieved by the gospel. Now, when you know that, because you've experienced it, not just in your own life, but you have observed it in multitudes of lives, the very same story as that Doug has here. And this is when I begin to describe this, is that when you remain under the law, your soul will herniate. And this, what he's describing, is a spiritual hernia. When you start trying to carry what you can't, you will herniate someplace on your body.
Exactly.
And then it gets to where that you're hurting. You're in pain. You're in pain constantly from a hernia, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
You'll herniate. You can ruin your back under that weight. You can have an emotional stroke. You can have an actual stroke, for God's sakes. Doug is back with us. Doug, we lost you, and I know you caught some of what Michael is saying. And I don't know if you heard this part that Michael was saying, that you are the reason we do what we do.
Oh man, I tell you, it's just. You know, to be free from all that, it's amazing, you know. It's just amazing. I can't explain it, you know.
Yeah, once you find love, once you find perfect acceptance, there's no going back. I mean, it's so wonderful. And, you know, I love what you said, Doug, that you make mistakes. By following our heart, Michael, how would you say it so well about you enjoying being wrong better than right?
And I understand what Doug's talking about, the freedom, not only the freedom to be wrong or to make mistakes. I actually got to where that I valued making mistakes and being wrong because I began to realize that that's, number one, it's where wisdom is, but when you find out you're wrong, then you're right. And finding out you're wrong is not a bad thing whatsoever. My goodness,
that's right.
For sure.
That's right. And what I realized was that my being right and my success was tied to my value and perception of my value of myself. In other words, you know, if I wasn't right, then that was an indication of my very being that I'm not right.
Yep.
Something wrong with me.
Yes, that's what Christianity taught us, Doug.
Yes.
And so that desperate search to be right was where many of us began this pursuit. We were desperate to be right with God. And to be right with God, you got to be right. You got to be right about your doctrine. You got to be right about your life. You got to be right about your actions. You got to be right about your deeds. You got to be right about your thoughts. You got to be right about everything.
Everything. You got to be right about your finances. You got to be right about your sex life. You got to, I mean, literally, we had a couple, an older couple come into our church and say that the only way to have sex within quote unquote biblical marriage, which of course it's not, was the missionary style. They actually said that in a church in Wisconsin in the 1980s. The only way to have acceptable sex was missionary style, and that oral sex was unacceptable to God.
Mm.
That wasn't good.
Mm. You know, I remember being I remember thinking that I was going to hell.
Yeah.
And it was such a paralyzing thing for me that, you know, that God was just going to get rid of me because, you know, hey, you're wrong. You're messed up, you know. So yeah. I have to say that I'm a lot freer now. I can make mistakes. They don't bother me as much because it's not attached to my value anymore.
Yeah. Well, here's let me share this with you, Doug. I learned this in saying this just a little bit differently. Instead of saying I'm freer, the one thing I've realized, I can't be any freer than what I am. I'm either free or I'm bound. You are totally free. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing is your soul is being saved. You're in a process that Paul spoke of. There really isn't such a thing as either any degrees of freedom. You're either free or you're not. But you are totally free. I want to tell you that. You are completely free, Doug.
Yes.
You are totally free. And you and I and Glenn and everybody in the Gospel Revolution are in different places of our soul being saved and the mind being renewed. Now, I'm in that process still. It is still going on actively, even as we speak. It is going on actively
in my life. Yep, I can feel it.
And so I just wanted to encourage you with that the freedom that you know doesn't come in degrees. You are absolutely free. And the freedom that you have is the freedom that was imputed to you 2,000 years ago at the cross. And that freedom, thank God, is absolute. And we as humans get the privilege of going through this process. And all of us jump in at this at different places. Man, I tell you, to be controlled by that fear, you know, I was at a point where that I couldn't even walk into a grocery store and buy groceries and get out of the store because of panic attacks. I couldn't make it through the checkout lane. How many times I walked into a grocery store and picked up the things I needed and got up toward the checkout lane, and panic would hit me so bad, I would just have to push the cart to the side, act like I was going back. I had unloaded things onto the counter and then acted like I had to go back and get something and walked out and around and snuck out the door because I couldn't get through the checkout lane. And these fears are all unsubstantiated, and that's the bizarre thing about them, and that's the reason call them herniations of the soul, because you can't explain why you're afraid. There's no rationality to it at all. There is nothing rational about this fear. Now, the thing also, Doug, that's so vitally important, and thank you so much for calling in, because this is, as I said earlier, what you're saying. People ask me all the time, you know, why do you do this? You know, my gosh, you know, you fly all the way to New Brunswick, and, you know, at one of our meetings, one guy showed up, and so he and I just sat there and talked. And I flew to New Brunswick to do this meeting, and our precious friends there put all of their efforts into it, and they'd gotten sick that day. And people say, well, why do you do this? This is it. This is it. It is to see the freedom that is in the gospel to have its effect on people's hearts and minds, just like Doug in Arkansas. And everybody who has the willingness to sit and listen for just a moment, and people say, yeah, but you get rejected by the masses. Let me tell you something. It's okay to be rejected by the masses as long as you know that somebody, anybody, is hearing and somebody is getting the help that they need, because the gospel does bring help. It brings relief. That's what it's for. It brings relief to the soul, to the heart, to the mind. It encourages
and that's the only thing that brought it.
Yeah, that is, and see, that's the thing I love about what you're saying is it is the gospel that did it. And there is nothing else. There's nothing else. All of the pills in the world not going to do it. I never discourage anybody from seeking help in any direction that they feel is necessary. But let me tell you something. With the experience that I've had, whatever route you're taking to get help for your soul, for your mind, I won't discourage you from it. But let me tell you, I have found one thing that renews the mind and saves the soul and brings the heart out of all manner of destruction. Because I believe that the heart was designed by God Himself to endure, to endure and to recover, to suffer, endure, and recover from loss. Now, the only thing that the heart is going to respond to, though, to recover from loss, is the gospel. The gospel is the helpmeet to the heart. It comes in, it joins with the heart. It makes the heart the most powerful place on earth. There is no place on earth more powerful than your heart, Doug. When the gospel becomes infused with the heart, you can't find a seat of power in Rome. You can't find a seat of power in Washington, D.C. You cannot find a seat of power more powerful any place on this earth than is right in your own heart. It is called the kingdom of God. It is called all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
It is called truth. And as Glenn was saying earlier, that truth is infinite and it is finite. What you have, it never ends.
Well, you know what? One thing I found is I don't have to search for the kingdom anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You know where the kingdom is, Doug?
It's here.
Yeah.
In my heart.
When you're sitting and taking a dump, it's right there, brother.
Hey, that's a marvelous way to put it.
I thought so. Hey, listen, will you be our Little Rock Gospel Revolution correspondent?
You betcha.
All right, done.
But, hey,
I won't. Yeah, I'll let you go on, but please do not hesitate to call us, and don't let so many weeks and months go in between calls, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I will. I've gotten so busy lately, and I should call more, and I want to.
No, well, no. There's no should. Just when you want to, and when you can. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, and one more thing I want to tell you is that, you know, I never had any. You know, I'm an engineer, and I went to school, and I do that, but I never really after I did that, I never really had much drive. You know, I wanted to, serve God and you know didn't have any Jesus drive for success in my heart. But I want to tell you, after that freedom came, after that fear left, I found myself just really hungering to learn more about my profession. And since then I've gone back and got my master's degree, and I'm going to be teaching.
My God,
teaching someday, but I can't explain it.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job for not being able to.
The hunger for my profession and to learn the technical aspects of what I do, just it's like it exploded, you know. And I'm more driven than I used to be.
That's awesome, dude. Well, listen, thank you so much. We want to hear from you a lot, so we love you and cannot thank you enough for calling tonight.
Thanks,
okay,
Doug.
Guys, we love y'all.
Okay.
Love you.
Here's Doug from Little Rock, Arkansas, the new Gospel Revolution Little Rock correspondent. Just got an email from CB from Dallas, Texas, saying, just missionary style? Are you effing kidding me? I'm not going to that church ever.
That's our gospel revolutionaries.
Yes, indeed. And Sean, for some reason, the very talented and handsome Sean O'Halloran wants everybody to know that oral sex in Florida is still illegal. And yeah, that's just great.
That's true.
That's just great, Sean. So, well, we better not do that. The pleasure police might come after us. All right. Well, when we return, we will be getting a call, I hope, from the aforementioned Secretary of the Defense for the Gospel Revolution. And we're going to take your calls, too. We got lots to get to yet this evening. Glad you're along with us, whether you are live or on the archive. and we will be back momentarily. We got a dial tone that nobody else can hear but me. All right, let's take our break, and we're going to be talking about Mike's trip to New Brunswick. We're going to be talking about why the webcast was postponed. We're going to be talking about a lot more stuff when we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Folks, the world was not, quote, going to hell because of what the world did. The world was going to hell because of what somebody else did. The preaching of the gospel makes no one righteous. It reveals the righteousness that you already have. The reason the blood of Christ only covers transgressions under the First Testament is because that's the only place where transgression existed. Everyone has been made righteous. But you've got righteousness you didn't ask for, righteousness you didn't even believe for. You might say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, welcome. You're an atheist. It's on your way to heaven. This is clear, sound doctrine in every Bible school that is on the face of this planet that teaches any form of Christianity.
The statements you just heard are from the Northern Midwest Conference in the teaching series, Spiritual Understanding, the Knowledge of God. James Pep Washburn writes, "Tonight was probably the most powerful presentation of the real gospel that I have ever heard. This is no exaggeration. The guy was absolutely firing on all cylinders tonight. He was in afterburner mode. No loose ends. Amazing." This 3-CD series is available for $24 plus shipping and handling, or in a downloadable audiobook for $12. Order your copy of the CDs or download at gospelrevolution.com today.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and the aforementioned birthday boy, Pep Washburn. Said that you were on afterburner mode, Michael, at that particular. And I have to say, having listened now to the masters of the New Brunswick meeting, you were on afterburner mode there, too. I don't know that we have a title yet for the 3-CD series that will be coming out of your trek up to New Brunswick, Canada.
I don't know.
But maybe, how about the imputation of God?
Yeah, that one is a good one.
How about one night in Canada, only one guy showed up? Well, a man that will have a lot to say about what that particular series is entitled, not to mention all the distribution around the world of that series, is online with us from Lake Calitosis, Florida. Please welcome online the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, also a birthday boy, yesterday on 420, Mr. Jeff Robertson is with us. Jeff!
Hi, guys.
How are you?
You really get a kick out of that Lake Calitosis thing, don't you?
Isn't that where you live?
Lake Panasoffkee.
Oh, Lake Panasoffkee.
Calitosis means bad breath. Okie doke, but that's all right. The lake, by the way, does not have bad breath. Anybody who wants to come to Lake Panasoffkee in Florida,
oh, it's quite nice. I've been there. You got a very nice digs, you and Dan Myers up there.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, I called.
Wait a second. I have a question for you before you get into your more serious point. I want to know, on your birthday on April 20th yesterday, did you splurge and do something besides Natty Light? That's what I want to know.
No, I did not.
Dude, you're so consistent. I love that about you.
I'm on a budget.
Well, you know, it's your birthday. You could have gone with some Bud Light or some Miller Light or something.
Yeah, well, you know, I was really busy. I was going to actually treat myself to a lunch at a local restaurant, and I got so involved in what I was working on that I was like, oh, no, it's dinner time. They don't have that item on the dinner menu. So today I took myself to lunch.
Oh, good. What did you have today?
They have a massive I'm a cheeseburger freak, like Mike.
Yeah,
I'm a cheeseburger freak, and they have a massive cheeseburger, and they cook it the way I like it, you know, so I ate their world famous cheeseburger. It's awesome, huge, and then after that you can barely walk, but it's great.
Awesome, that sounds like a good birthday present.
That
I know
works
I would
for
have
me.
Enjoyed it.
Well, you had a cheeseburger in paradise. Here you have paradise, the kingdom of God, in your heart at all times, and you went and had a cheeseburger. That works.
Oh, yes. I am always walking in the kingdom, and the kingdom's always walking in me.
That's how it works. All right, buddy. Now we have to. I know what you want to talk about. It's kind of piggybacking on Doug's point, but a little more serious. So bad transition, but please unburden yourself, please.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, this is somebody else who we were talking about me having a birthday here and Pep having a birthday, and then this subject came up, which reminded me of also another person who unfortunately doesn't celebrate his birthday in April anymore. And he was a dear friend of mine. He and I lived together, shared the same room together for over 6 months. And he came back into my life a couple years later because of a phone call. He was in panic mode, and a couple called me. I was on my way to school. I was in college, and I couldn't miss this class I was going to. And on the way out the phone, way out the door, the phone rang. His people told me he was in terrible straits. I had to go drive 2 hours in the mountains of East Tennessee and go pick him up. It took me an hour to convince him to follow me home in his car. I had him at my home for about 4 days. Every day, we were on the phone with Mike. He could not decide what he should do, and it was all about this being in the will of God and him not wanting to make the wrong decision. And we were trying to get him to decide to go to his family because I couldn't take care of him. I was a full-time student, and I worked a full-time job. I couldn't take care of him. And so he'd be on the phone with Mike, then he'd put me on the phone with Mike, and then I'd put Mike back on the phone with him. And then he left my house because he decided to go to some friends down in Alabama, not too far away, a 3 or 4 hour drive. And I guess he got, 20 miles away from the house on the interstate, and he turned off on an exit, and he called Mike. He thought he should turn around and go back. Then he turned around and went back. And then he got off on the following exit back, called Mike, couldn't make up his mind. Then he turned around, and Mike, he did that for how many hours?
It was more than 12 hours, I know, that he drove it that 10-mile stretch back and forth. It was more than 12 hours.
Yeah, and then a few years ago, another mutual friend of Mike's and mine, I sent Mike a message because I decided to try to find him on the internet, and what I found, it devastated me. I found an article on him committing suicide, and I know why he did it, because he struggled with that for years.
Yeah.
He finally jumped off the building, a hotel building, off the roof. It was a 31-story building, to his death.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that if I ever meet the preacher who originally taught him that being in the will of God thing, God help that guy.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, Michael, we both taught it. And Jeff, what were the names of the first names of these two guys?
The two guys? Well, Clifton was the one who jumped off the building. The person who I sent the message through, that was Jackie.
Okay, now, Michael...
Who also knew Clifton.
Jackie and Clifton's life were not in vain, because we know that Jesus died for every life. And we know that Clifton and when Jackie and when all of us... transition, however that works, from this life to the next, that all have been redeemed, all have been cleansed, all have been made righteous. As you told Doug, all have been made free. And, you know, we'll see him face to face, whatever that means. We'll see the light. But for the purpose, and I think this, you know, so perfectly segues into Doug's comments, what is the will of God?
The will of God was his commandment, and his commandment was everlasting life for the entire human race through the death, burial, and resurrection, the obedience, and the belief of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I asked Michael for his answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, no, I don't know that Michael could have given.
Michael answered better than I did.
I don't think Michael could have answered better. But what do you want to add on to that, Mike?
I would not even attempt to add to that at all. It's it is the truth. The will of God is done, I think it's really important that this has come up right after Doug's testimony, as he wanted to share. Because this exemplifies our constant encouragement to people to let their hearts and souls be saturated in the gospel. I don't know all of Clifton's mental and emotional problems, but I do know that I do know what that doctrine did to him, just as Jeff does. It was horrific to watch this young man in his 20s, a beautiful young man, in such horrible torment, not knowing, driving between two exits, two 10-mile exits for hours and hours and hours and hours, no food, no water, just driving back and forth hours and hours and hours. And it's just a horrible waste. And the only relief he got was he did finally get away from the doctrines of the Norval Hayes Bible College. He did get away from that, but he never was able to be in a situation to where that he could be really absorbing the gospel. He never had that opportunity, and it finally took his life. You know, it really did. It finally took his life. And I'm like Jeff. When I saw that article online about this incredible jump that he had made from a 30-story building, I was just it was devastating. But the encouragement was that. Clifton may have taken a shortcut, but the fact of it is no matter when we depart this life, we all are one. We're one here. We're one there. We're one. It doesn't make any difference where we might be or what mindset we are in, but it's the awareness of that oneness. That's the reason I wanted to emphasize to Doug that, and I know that we all say that comment, and we all make that comment that I am freer than I was. And but I think it's really, really is important to understand that we can't be freer. We are free. And the degree that we are able to accept that freedom is the only limitation we have. It's not freedom itself that we need. We don't need freedom. Freedom has been given. We need to have knowledge of that freedom.
Yes.
We need to have understanding of it. We need our minds and our hearts renewed.
Yes.
No one on this planet needs to be set free. We have been set free. We were set free 2,000 years ago. Now, the thing that we need to be freed from isn't the freedom that we're looking for. We need to be freed from what was instituted after we got set free.
Yes.
Which is religion, which is Christianity. We must be freed from this vile misinterpretation, at minimum, I'll call it a misinterpretation, of the will of God, of the cross, of what Jesus came to do, of the scriptures, this violation. Violation of truth. It is just a violation of truth. Now, we've seen what in these two calls tonight, we've seen the power of these two opposite ends of this matter. We've seen the power of the gospel, and we've seen the power of religion. And both of these gentlemen had a hunger to know the truth. But man, I tell you what, where you stop to drink from could cost you your life.
Yeah.
It could cost you your life. Where you stop to drink could cost you your life. And So again, I mean, and it is the other reason. Here's the other reason that I continue to do this. It's Clifton. Clifton is the reason I do this. Doug is the reason I do this, because it doesn't make any difference whether someone made it out or made it in. The issue is that the gospel is the power of God. And I have the pleasure of sharing that, and so do you guys too. And so when we hear these stories, either side, it doesn't make any difference whether it is this cataclysmic loss of such a beautiful human being. And anybody that would have ever known Clifton, you would have called him a beautiful human being, not because of the group, but just because of individually. He was a beautiful, gentle, and kind human being. And then we have Doug, and who, thank God, broke out of that and was able to clear his mind of this issue of the will of God. What a horrible, horrible bondage of the mind to have to decide whether which direction you go on the interstate as to whether or not you're in the will of God. What a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And you say, now, Mike, that doesn't happen to everybody. It happened to everybody who took those messages seriously.
Exactly.
Every one of them that took it seriously. Now, I know a lot of you guys didn't take it seriously. I thank God you didn't.
Yes.
I thank God you didn't take it seriously. I'm glad you let it run off like water off a duck's back. I'm so glad you had enough sense to say, I don't know about that. What gives them the right to say that? You know, I'm not sure about that. But see, when you are placed in a position to where that your fault is pointed out to a point to where that the only conclusion for you is an eternal hell, for sure, an eternal hell, your mind and your heart is going to grasp onto things trying to alleviate that consequence. And I'm telling you, in the process of the pursuit of that, I'm telling you, you can drink from a well that could kill you. You can drink from a well that could kill you. But there's the well that you can drink from that is full of healing. It is full of healing for the mind, for the soul, and for the heart.
No doubt. Jeffro, thank you so much for
sharing.
Can I
add just one more thing because it's important?
Yeah, go.
This is something that's important.
Only because it's important.
Yeah. This is something that's very important to Mike's heart. It's important to my heart. The freedom that we have is explorable to endless limits, just like this gospel. Just because, I mean, we're discovering new things in the gospel every day. And freedom's the same way. And the thing about it is if you've heard about Doug, if somebody's listening and they've heard about Doug and now how he's actually engaging more in his life, he's furthering his degree, he's enjoying his life where he didn't before because he didn't know if he was making the right decision or not. All of this is incremental. It's not to be attained. Relax, don't have expectations. Let the gospel do what it does, and let it bring you from glory to glory, or whatever you want to call it, and let it do its work.
That's awesome.
Good advice.
Good preaching, Roberts.
All right, boys. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Jeffro. We love you. Happy birthday.
Love you. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. Happy birthday. And love you.
There's you.
There's Jeff Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, the Secretary of Defense. If you want to know the other titles, because, you know, you have an institution or organization, you need titles. Just go to gospelrevolution.com, page down at the bottom of the page, and you'll see a topic called Just for Fun. And email us your title, the title that you want. We do not assign the titles. Well, sometimes we do. But if they're not, like Pep Washburn, the Medicine Man. And Jeff Robertson, the Secretary of Defense. Mike Williams, the Grand Poobah. I don't remember what mine is. I think I'm the Court Jester. Oh, maybe Richard Mull is the Court Jester.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Sean O'Halloran, of course.
I don't think you picked one.
Sean O'Halloran, of course, is the engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire. And he is call screened to a fine-tooth comb tonight. And We have a phone line available to take a call tonight right now at 1-800-436-3260. We will be going overtime. We got lots to get to yet tonight. You deserve an overtime, which is very apropos to our story about why last night was postponed and why we were doing the webcast tonight live. If it is 5 minutes until 10 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A., that is your cue to give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. Outside the U.S. or Canada, call us at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And we're going to welcome our next gentleman online, but I have to tell the story while he's there. Let's go to Cincinnati, Ohio, and our senior correspondent from the Queen City, Mr. Greg Amberg. Gregory!
Hey, guys. I've decided that I want to change my title.
First of all, what is your title?
I don't know. I mean, for a while you were calling me the music director or the worship leader or whatever.
I think you might be the minstrel.
Well, okay, we're changing it because I'm playing in an orchestra this weekend.
Yes.
And I was just watching the conductor the other night, and I thought, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot. We have to, you know, work out all these parts. We have to learn all this music. And he kind of stands up there and waves his arms, and the music just comes forth. Well, that's what I'm going to be, the maestro.
I like that.
Can I be the maestro of the Gospel Revolution?
Only if you're like the maestro from Seinfeld that would carry around his baton everywhere.
I will get me a baton and begin carrying it.
Okay. You're the maestro.
All right.
I like
qualifications
that.
Have been met.
Now, Greg was privy to what was up last night when we postponed the Wednesday webcast. And
right.
And so his call reminds me to let all the beautiful humans out there know exactly what happened. So here's what happens. At about 4:20 yesterday, ironically, on 4:20, at 4:20, I decided to take a nap. And some of you will catch that irony, and some of you won't. But in any case, I took a little nap, and I woke up to a phone call at about 5:20 from a good friend of mine who offered me a ticket to last night's Stanley Cup playoff hockey game with the Tampa Bay Lightning hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins. George Howell's Pittsburgh Penguins, by the way. And so my buddy, Bruce, he knows how much I love the hockey. And when the ticket came available, because his brother couldn't call, he called me first. So he said, do you want to go? And I said, of course I want to go, but I've got the radio show, which he's well aware of. And I said, let me make a couple of calls. So I called Michael first. And I said, would you be mad if I went to a hockey game instead of doing the radio show? And he said, well, it's really not an emergency. And, you know, we have people listening. And maybe at this point of the history of the webcast, you know, we should not interrupt the program for a stupid hockey game. But do whatever you want to do, Michael Williams said to me. And I said, okay, I will. So I made a couple of calls, called Sean to see if he could come in tonight, called a couple other people that I had things that were planning on doing, or that I was planning on doing with them, and everything kind of worked out. And in the middle of all this, I was a little upset, a little stressed out that Michael was less than approving initially in his response. I mean, you didn't say, Mikey, yeah, go for it, brother. I think that's awesome. You know, no problem. But in the middle of all my phone calls, Michael called me back and said, honestly, and I credit the gospel at work, he said that the last person in the world that should judge somebody else about how important a sporting event is me. So, yeah, let's just go for it, and everything will be cool. So that relieved that stress. And then I got to go to the game, which was a historic game last night. The Lightning down 2-0, came back, tied it up at the end of the third period. For those of you like Ken Kemp in Vancouver, who is a hockey fanatic, many of our Canadian people, if not all of our Canadian people, know what the third period means with 3 minutes left to go to tie a game up in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we go to overtime, and they went to double overtime. And then Pittsburgh scored a goal in the second overtime. Basically, we watched three periods of regulation and then a period and a half of overtime. It was very exciting, and it was a major buzzkill when the Penguins scored. It's a sudden-death goal, and the game is over. So, anyway, for those of you who saw the email today, you know that we said that sometimes things like baseball games are postponed due to rain, and sometimes even football games that are played in the most inclement weather are even delayed due to lightning. Well, last night, the Gospel Revolution webcast was delayed due to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that is my story, and I'm sticking to it. So thank you, Michael, for your forbearance. Thanks, everybody out there, for your patience. And now let us go to Greg Ambergy, who's listened to the story now twice and read it online with my little innuendo. And you have a similar situation, don't you?
Oh, that was funny. I told Glenn this morning, I talked to him on the phone, and I said, I thought it was just great that he was willing to cancel the webcast because he got a chance to go to a playoff hockey game. And I was reminded of a story when I was younger, and I don't mean to complain about going to church all the time. Actually, that's where I learned how to play music anyway, so probably a good thing that I went all the time. But my brother and I, he's about 4.5 years older than I, and we had conspired. I think I was about 9 or 10, and he was maybe 14. And we had conspired to get out of Tuesday night church. Our church at that time had church on Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Saturday night, every week. And we were conspiring to get out of church because the All-Star game was on, the baseball All-Star game. And there were several of our favorite players that were going to be in the starting lineup that year. Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, several of those guys.
Tony Perez. Wait. Tony Perez. David.
Well, no, this would have been...
Davey Concepcion.
This would have been about 1970.
Joe Morgan.
So it wasn't the Big Red Machine quite yet. No, Morgan was still playing for Houston.
Was Sparky Anderson the manager?
Yes.
All right. Well, I just want everybody to know that I am up to date on my Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, you're up to date. Yeah. This was the team that I think won the. Anyway, they won the division, but not the World Series that year. But anyway, some of our favorite players were in the All-Star game. We wanted to watch, and so we conspired this big, plan to sit down with my mom. We thought she would have a. She would be good cop rather than my dad. And so we sat down with my mom and laid out the deal that we wanted to stay home from church, with my brother who was old enough to watch me and watch the All-Star game. And I could tell my mom kind of wanted to let us do it, but she had to stick with her principles and make us go to church. And I just remember a little bit her being a little conflicted about it. But, so when I heard that Glenn had canceled the webcast and he was being honest about it and just saying he wanted to go to a hockey game, I thought, yes, the gospel's having an effect.
Yeah, it's,
not a truly deeply spiritual story I had tonight.
No, actually, you know what? I'm committed to this effort, but as Michael always says, follow your heart. And my heart said I needed to be at the St. Pete Times Forum. And by the way, George Howell, the aforementioned Pittsburgh Penguins fan, our senior Gospel Revolution correspondent from, how do you say it where he's from, Michael? I never could pronounce it.
Monongahela.
Thanks, girl. Monongahela. Riley emailed me this morning and said, did I have good seats for last night's game? And I said, yeah, George, I had perfect seats to see your winning goal. And I said, F you. And I did say that. So we have a lot of Gospel Revolution fans around the world that cheer for different teams and that play on different teams, if you will, and that have different political views. I mean, Michael, it's amazing. I was looking at some of the emails and some of the people that responded on Facebook that they would be attending the webcast live. You cannot believe – well, yeah, no, you can. The diversity of human beings that are part of this gospel revolution. I'm talking about elderly people, white people, black people, Asian people, people of Hispanic backgrounds, people all over the world, people that are gay, people that are straight, people that are extreme liberals, people that are extreme conservatives, and everything in between, and they all come underneath, happily, the umbrella of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I credit the gospel in my own heart for being in a position to where that when I'm sharing the gospel, these positions don't move me at all. I'm very grateful for that, because I certainly have my opinions. And I think they're right, or I would not have them. And I'm talking about opinions other than just the gospel itself. And, but they don't make any difference. It's really amazing to see how that the mentality of the gospel brings you to where that differences are simply and only differences of opinion, because we are one. And instead of allowing these differences of opinion placing us in different camps, it doesn't do that. I am totally blown away, because, I mean, everybody knows the political atmosphere in this country, to the far right and to the far left. And believe you, I have personal friends in the gospel who are on either of these positions. And believe me, these people are very close to me. And, but we respect each other. They're not trying to force their opinions. They're very respectful. I'm respectful of them. They are respectful of each other. And, it doesn't put them in different camps. It doesn't put them in this, position to where that, you know, that they can't, associate and, can't be a part of. Because we've got the most common ground. It's so amazing, because it's the loftiest thing that a human being could aspire to, but it's the most common ground that we will ever have, and that is the righteousness of God. We are the gospel.
You could
peace and gospel grace.
No doubt, you could not have a more sturdy and common ground than we have in the gospel. And it is, what a pleasure. I mean, I wouldn't want to have a gospel revolution with people of the same mindset. I mean, not only do we have different nationalities, folks, you have to understand, we have people who are of hugely. I talked about Pep Washburn, as I often do, earlier in the webcast, and Pep and I differ tremendously. In fact, we were in a big argument yesterday on Facebook about politics. We were giving each other a heart.
Now, Pep is the comrade of the gospel revolution.
No, he is actually, Pep is the medicine man.
He's the medicine man. That's
right,
because
he loves to do the Indian Lodge, and he loves, and of course his adopted son Jamesy is actually, he's a native Canadian from the Inuit tribe. And Jeff has just informed me that I am the court jester, Richard Mull is the king of comedy, and Greg, you were the chancellor.
Which is
so appropriate, it's ridiculous. But he is now changing it online and on the homepage. You are now the maestro with baton in hand.
Even though I've never really directed much in my life.
No, but you've had a baton in your hand from time to time.
I have, yes. Mm-hmm.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we will say goodnight to the maestro of the gospel revolution.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Yeah, it's time to get Greg off now, folks. There he goes. Greg Ambergy from Cincinnati, Ohio, who was very much under the weather, and glad to hear that he is sounding so much better this evening. Greg Ambergy, the maestro of the gospel revolution. Quite the musician he is. We have the pleasure of having him at the first Gospel Revolution Convention in Houston, that beautiful facility, the Marriott at Greenpoint, which is one of the great hotels on the planet. And a lot of good memories there. So I have to, we brought up Richard Mull, now a couple times on this webcast, Michael, and Mike, or Richard, you know, has let us know that he is, going through some, serious medical situations and procedures. And the obvious response, or the common response, to people who, are Christians or who believe in Jesus, even a lot of the gospel revolutionaries, would be, we will be praying for him. And we have purposely not said that tonight. And why is that?
Well, number one, Richard didn't ask for prayer. Number two, Richard is, and I asked him point blank, you know, just yesterday, I believe it was, how he was doing emotionally, because, you know, when you deal with these things, they test where you really are. I mean, when you're facing situations where doctors are giving diagnosis and treatments that are unpleasant, and the outcome is not known for sure, it tends to destabilize. But I asked Richard, I said, how are you doing emotionally? How is your heart? And he kind of laughed and he said, you know, I'm doing really good. He knows that he can be completely honest with me. If he was a basket case, he could say so. So the reason I haven't is, Richard didn't ask. Because Richard knows that everything that's been done for us has been done already.
It's already finished. Everything.
It's a finished work.
It's a finished work.
Yeah. So, you know, to invoke prayer to get God to do something for Richard is to say that there's something that hasn't been done that needs to be done. And Richard doesn't believe that. Richard believes that everything that needs to be done for his life was done 2,000 years ago in Christ. And people say, oh, well, you might miss a healing. Well, I don't know how you could miss a healing if believing is part of it, when you believe that everything, whatever it is, took place 2,000 years ago. But the fact of it is that, prayer, in Christianity and all religions around the world has become much more of a bondage than it has anything to do with freedom whatsoever. The Book of Psalms, we constantly talk about the scriptures being fulfilled, and my perception on this, which I have shared publicly, I've not taught on it in detail, I don't think I'm ready to just yet, but my perception on it is that the law, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the law has been fulfilled. All of that has been fulfilled. The Psalms has been fulfilled, and the prophets. Now, we know that the law, we know what the law is. The law is the law is the law. It includes the incorporation of over 613 laws throughout. And we also know what the prophets are. The prophets were the foretelling of a conclusion to man's resolve about his relationship with God, mankind. I believe that all of those prophecies were fulfilled 2,000 years ago. One thing you can't get around when you look at the Book of Psalms is it's a book of prayers. And there's every kind of prayer that you could think of is prayed in the Book of Psalms. I cannot think of a type of prayer that wasn't prayed in the Book of Psalms. So you see, the logical part of me that I understand about Jesus' teaching, and then I look and I see I cannot deny that the law has been fulfilled. I cannot and will not deny that all prophecy has been fulfilled, no matter what religious folks do and how upset they get about, the year 2000 or 2010 or 2020 or
2012,
2110. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, I think last week you predicted that we will be here. We might not be here because we don't know.
Individually, we don't know.
Yeah, but the planet will be going, and the archives of the webcast will be here. And you boldly predicted that 2012 will turn into 2013 without
Absolutely.
A hitch.
Without a doubt. So here we have this thing, you know, and just this is something. This, you know, in the gospel revolutions, there's things that I personally have come to a conclusion. There's things that people have heard me say that they're thinking about. There's things that people have learned I don't even know yet. I learn from other people all the time. And they understand things I don't understand yet, and I get it. Man, I tell you, I get a phone call and get in a conversation with somebody, and they bring about something that is spoken in the line of truth and understanding. It's like, man, that's fantastic. That's great. There's things that none of us know yet. I really believe that. There's things that none of us understand yet about the full impact of the gospel in this life. And I think that we will be learning throughout the process of living and existence on this planet.
No doubt.
And so the other thing I have to embrace is this issue of prayer. Now, for me, when I come to the point where I feel confident to teach on it, I will do that. But I have to tell everybody, just like when I got set free from the totally, my mind was completely set free from the issue of sin. And I remember so well when I found out that sin was completely taken care of 2,000 years ago. And I came to the conclusion, Glenn, that confessing my sins was an affront to the cross.
Yes.
I had a decision to make. I had at that time, it was the biggest decision ever made in my entire existence on planet Earth. Nothing else had matched this up to that time.
That's really saying something.
And I had to decide whether or not I believed that forgiveness was once and for all at the cross, and if my confession of sin actually was not only not necessary, that it was an affront to the work of the cross. I finally made that decision. I remember making that step. I remember making that choice. And I remember doing something that I normally, just almost immediately after, would have opened my mouth and the air would have gone across my vocal cords and I would have said, Father, please forgive me in the name of Jesus and cleanse me of this sin. That sounds so weird to me now because it's been so long since the air has passed over my vocal cords and that statement has ever come out of my mouth again. But I remember that step. It's a huge, huge step. And at the time, and I still say it, everybody who feels they should confess their sins should do it. You stop it only when you know in your own heart that sin was resolved at the cross. I would never drag somebody into something. Now, will I tell them the truth about it? I'll tell you the truth about it. I will let you know that sin was forgiven. I believe with all my heart as a teacher that confession of sin is an affront to the cross, not the lack of confession of sin. I will let you know that. I will tell you my personal testimony of when I quit and what a dramatic impact that had. And a vista opened up to me of life and living that I never had before.
Yeah.
And I left sin behind. I left sin behind. I left guilt behind. I just walked right straight out of it. And it was an incredible, incredible experience. So I am placing this tantamount to the issue of sin. We are dealing with this issue of prayer. Now, I openly and readily tell everybody I don't pray at all anymore about anything.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling anybody to stop praying. I am telling you these are my conclusions. I believe all prayer was fulfilled at the cross. I believe that with all of my heart. If you still feel like you got to pray, you better pray. If you want to pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you want to ask for things, ask for things. But you see, these things don't come as doctrines. This is not a doctrine to me. This is life to me.
Right.
It is life to me to not confess my sins. It is life to me to be freed from the bondage of prayer that is expecting God to produce some result out of my request.
Exactly.
So it's freedom for me.
Well, I have... Now, all right, go ahead. I'm
go
sorry.
Right ahead.
I have some things to share. And for those of you guys that have been following this webcast since we went online almost 5 years ago, you'll be able to know firsthand of what I'm talking about. I'm not making this up. Prayer, for me, is, and sometimes I do pray in tongues, and sometimes I do pray out loud, but it's always from a heart of thanksgiving. It's never, to me, prayer, asking for something, would be like asking God to please, Lord, allow the sun to rise from the east today. Please allow the earth to continue to rotate on its axis. Please allow gravity to still be intact. Even the most staunch Christian who believes in asking God for everything wouldn't think about asking for that. Why? Because even he or she knows that that is finished. And in the same way, I think it is an affront to the cross. When Jesus prayed that last prayer and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said at the end of that experience on that tree at Golgotha, he said, it is finished. It would be akin analogous to ask God to allow the earth to continue to rotate around the sun and the moon. It's almost silly because it's finished. God,
yeah.
And my point was, is that during the course of this webcast, Michael and I used to go around personally on the telephone, and we did it on the webcast somewhat about the sovereignty of God. In other words, God's interaction with us today. And there's no doubt you can see in the scriptures, in the Old Testament writings, if you will, God's sovereignty at work. We were predestined, the Bible says, to be in Christ. God had a plan. And he finished that plan at the cross.
Yes, he
and
did.
Then he set us free. We are no longer children of God. We are no longer those that were created in the image of God. That race doesn't exist anymore. He has now seen us, and the question is, will we see ourselves as sons of God? Will we see ourselves as grown-ups, ladies and gentlemen? And I remember the time Michael and I used to go about this. I thought God for sure is in charge of everything that goes on the planet. Everything. Every thought that you have, every motivation you have, everything that happens in your life. And I remember when the idea came to me that in the same way that the law was fulfilled and that prayer was fulfilled and that the prophecies were fulfilled, so was the sovereignty that was manifest or revealed in the scriptures. And I got to say to Michael personally and to anybody else who would listen, I don't know if that I've ever said this on the webcast, maybe I have, that God's sovereignty was also fulfilled. He has now imputed to us everything that there is. And this is Michael's teaching from Fredericton, from New Brunswick, with Tom and Linda will be up there. You're going to want to get that series for sure. Of course you're going to want to get that series. Everything that God has in the kingdom of God, righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption, are already in your heart. God's plan, his sovereignty, has already been imputed to you. Now he asks, and we could ask too, what do you want to do? What's in your heart? What is your want to? I wanted to go to a hockey game last night. Greg wanted to call up and tell us his story about not being able to watch the All-Star game for his precious Cincinnati Reds. Doug wanted to call tonight and tell us his story. Jeff wanted to call. And so, what do you want to do? You have been freed. Michael said it earlier. The amount of freedom that you could possibly have has already been imputed to you. You are free. You are like the slaves that were freed after the Civil War in the United States. What do you want to? Many of them left. Some came north. And you know what happened to some, Michael? They came back to the plantation. because they did not know what to do. I remember the story when, this is many years ago now, we had a gentleman, Jeff was retelling the story about Clifton, who ended up committing suicide. We had a guy named Robert from California call us. You remember this?
I'm not sure.
And,
oh, yeah.
And he told us he was contemplating killing himself.
Yeah.
He told us that as far as he knew in his lineage, in his ancestry, that people had committed suicide throughout for generations. And that he was seriously thinking about killing himself. We had him on for over 30 minutes on this webcast talking to him. In no way, shape, or form did we try to talk him out of killing himself.
Yeah.
And at the end of the discussion, we said, Robert, God will not look poorly upon any decision you make, because all the decisions that you've made have been already covered by the blood of Christ. Follow your heart, which is the recommendation we give everybody. The will of God, the Bible says that the will of God is Jesus Christ, not what you do or where you should go or what road you should drive on or what job you should have or who you should marry. The will of God is Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, ladies and gentlemen. And that was our recommendation. That was not easy to say, I got to tell you. When you are on a worldwide listen-to webcast, and you're telling somebody that is verbally, most people say you've got to call crisis center, you've got to try to talk them out. No, we did not try to talk them out of anything. And a couple weeks later, we heard back from Robert, and he told us, Michael, you'll recall, that he called us on the webcast, and he said he had decided after he contemplated and heard what we had to say that he would not be killing himself. Not that he knew that God would be upset with him, but because he felt that for his kids and his grandkids, he wanted to hang around a little bit longer.
He was able to think rationally. Now, see, here's the thing, too, in that, Glenn. This man was not, this was not your normal case, if you could call any case of a potential suicide normal. He wasn't just depressed and wanted to end his life. He felt because of his family lineage, he was destined to commit suicide. He felt that that was his lot and that he was supposed to. And I tell you what, when you get into something like that, you know, you're dealing with the very existence of human beings on the earth. And, you know, whatever comes out of your mouth, you know, it's not an issue if you got to make sure you're right. But you ought to at least be persuaded in your heart that what you're sharing is the truth. And what was shared with him, I believe absolutely was the truth. And it afforded him a place in his heart to think. Now listen to this. We're terribly frightened of freedom. But let me tell you the number one thing that freedom does. It affords you a place in your heart to stop and think. It does not guarantee that you will make, quote, the right decision.
Exactly.
But it does afford you a space in time and emotion to think on logical terms. Because when you are in that position, I've been in that position of suicide myself, attempted it 3 times. You're not in a logical place. Nothing is rational. Nothing is logical. And the thing that people need is not to be told what to do or consequences, because obviously consequences are not a swaying matter to people who are trying to kill themselves. We have thousands that kill themselves every day.
Right, and there are people that are listening right now that are contemplating this, and
yes,
I have and I have contemplated this, and I've told Michael about it years ago, and he excuse me. And I was on medication, and you heard what Michael had to say about a psychiatric medication earlier. In no way, shape, or form in his desire to help me did he ever say, Glenn, you should not be on this medication. You never said it. And you never said I shouldn't kill myself.
No.
All you ever told me was the gospel and don't do anything that you can't or do not want to do.
Yeah.
What good advice.
Yeah, it's not the normal thing you would have. You're going to learn in counseling school to tell a person who is massively depressed and suicidal. But see, the thing of it is, when you understand the gospel, see, all I was doing by sharing those things with you, Glenn, was affording you a logical place in your heart to think. Because if you get in a battle with people about their position, you've lost, because then it's just a battle. You're to where you can't make the decision about these people's lives. Only they can make that decision. When that phone hangs up, it's them. So is your advice going to be there with them, or is it going to be them in their heart? I'll guarantee you the only thing that's going to be there with them in those hours, just as it was when you were in that position, Glenn, when we got off the phone, my advice didn't mean anything. It was you and your heart that was there.
Right.
But what those words did was afford you a place in your heart to contemplate and to think logically.
Right. And, I mean, for those of you guys that are contemplating this right now or have, you understand exactly what we're talking about. I mean, nothing is rational. There seems like there's no hope. It's such a dark, horrible place. And I'm thankful for that experience, if nothing more, to A, be able to relate to people that go through that and are going through that, and B, being able to be thankful that I'm not there anymore. And the other thing that you did tell me, and this is so true, folks, is that Michael would tell me, Glenn, things will change. But he was honest about it. He said it might get worse, and it might get better. That's just the truth, folks.
Yeah.
People always say everything turns out for the best. No, it doesn't. Things turn out, but I mean, at the end of the day, when we're in whatever heaven is, of course they turn out for the best. But in this life, things don't turn out for the best. Everything doesn't happen for a reason, and that we can figure. And but the truth is that the only constant is change. Things are going to change, and what is happening today is not going to be exactly what's happening tomorrow. That's guaranteed, and there was something about that, and whatever the stealthy, as Jeff was talking about earlier, just having the impact of the gospel, not trying to do anything, just being exposed to the truth, that is the power of God, that is the salvation of the soul. Somehow, here I am, years later, still you guys that have been listening to this, you remember when Greg, who was on the show earlier, Greg Amberge, was co-hosting with Michael. Why?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do the show. And I know that sounds hard for you guys. I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
I could not move. I was glued to the frickin' floor and bed. It took me hours to get out of bed and to take a shower. Can you relate to that? Anybody out there?
I sure can, Glenn.
You are in good company, ladies and gentlemen. You are in good company when it comes to being tormented in your heart, in your soul, rather, and in your mind, and in your emotions. And I knew the gospel. But it was a dark, horrible place. And Michael would always tell me, just whatever movement there is, just even over 10 minutes, inches, millimeters, it's forward movement. And there's something positive and something powerful about moving forward. And that's what we're doing. We're moving forward.
You know, what we have to do, Glenn, is to place certainty on that which is certain and drop this ridiculous act of trying to place certainty on that which is uncertain. It's ridiculous. It's so destabilizing. We try to tell each other, everything's going to be okay. Just think positive. Everything will turn out right. That's a lie.
Yeah.
That is a lie.
Yeah.
You know what I can tell you for certainty is that you're righteous, you're holy, you're perfect. There's no sin. There's no judgment. God's not angry. You're one with God. The list can go on endlessly of certainty, absolute certainty.
Yeah.
But I will resist till my last breath of people in their religious and even in their positions of doing what they think is best. But when you start placing certainties on that which is and always will be uncertain, which is life, you are imputing death. Because every degree of certainty that you place on this life, that is the degree of uncertainty that is going to be taken out of your understanding of the cross.
Wow. You said something last week that actually was the title of last week's webcast, which that is spiritual is natural, and that is natural is spiritual.
Yes, that's exactly what the church has done.
And that is exactly what you're talking about right now.
They take
what is certain, which is God's love, your redemption, your righteousness,
and they make it uncertain,
and they take the uncertain, which is like the next 5 seconds, and they try to make that certain.
Yeah, based on your decisions. And your obedience to God. You can be certain that everything's going to turn out right. The sun's going to shine. It can be certain that the crops are going to come in. The field's going to yield its fruit. Everything's going to turn out. The flood's not going to come. The sickness isn't going to come. Your kid's not going to ever die. You'll never stand over your child's casket and weep. Those are lies. Because all of those things are possibilities. And we need to grow up and be able to accept that anything is possible. But you see, when you take off those boundaries that anything that is possible to the negative, you see the very same lid comes off the same jar.
Exactly. And that's what Doug was talking about, what the gospel did for him in his career.
Everything possible goes to the other direction,
yes.
To the positive.
Oh, my God.
So you can't be afraid of the possibilities, the negative possibilities of life. They are there. When you go to school, you got to face the possibilities. You may not get through. You could fail. You may have to change your degree. Everything that you do in this life, you must face with healthy, logical uncertainty because it's all uncertain. Do you get it? It's all uncertain anyway. Why in the hell would you tell somebody to be certain about things that are uncertain?
Yeah.
And why in the hell are we telling people to be uncertain about that which is certain?
Wow.
And this is this mental and emotional stability. This is the thing that stops you from herniating because you've not been given the weight to carry about eternal matters. Human beings cannot carry eternal matters upon their soul. It was not given for them to do that. We were given to have upon our soul and our heart to deal with temporal matters. And you can do it. No matter how brokenhearted you are, no matter what the loss is, you can recover. You can recover. The heart is designed. The heart is designed. It's designed for two things: to be able to embrace the absolute certainty of the gospel and truth and life and righteousness and peace and the gospel. And the heart is also able to embrace the uncertainty. To every degree, I believe that it's impossible for people to embrace the uncertainty of life. That's the degree of uncertainty that we've placed upon our eternity. When these things are resolved on eternal spiritual matters, please hear me. I cannot tell you how important I feel what is being said right now and what we've been covering. This is the freedom that Doug was talking about. This is the process that he was speaking of. This is what it's all about. We have to share the gospel. What does the gospel do? See, the gospel isn't telling you what to do, where to go, or anything. But what it does is it separates these two things, and it compares, as Paul said, it compares that which is spiritual to that which is spiritual. That's what the wisdom of God does. But you see, man's wisdom tries to compare that which is natural to that which is spiritual.
Right.
And we lose it all. And then the soul takes on burdens it cannot handle. Can you hear me? It will cause you to jump off a 30-story building. It will cause you to not be able to get through the checkout lane at the grocery store. It'll pin you flat in a bed someplace. But Glenn knew the gospel. This kid down in Florida, down in Alabama, he had heard the gospel. But you see, the difference between the impact, the slow, and Jeff's advice was so apropos. Just let the gospel do what the gospel does. You don't know how damaged your soul is. I don't have a meter that can gauge that. I don't have something. You know, you smile, you act happy. I don't know the damage that's there in your soul. You don't know the damage in mine. There's nobody there that knows the damage that is still in my soul to this day that still needs the healing power of the gospel to resolve these things for me. Because I sure as God can't do it myself. I'm 58 years old. There's things I haven't been able to resolve. Now, there's been a myriad of things that have resolved themselves. And I can tell you, I didn't do a thing to do it. Simply embracing the truth of the gospel.
Right.
And the gospel will continue to
right,
do this in my heart.
Exactly. The only thing that is required of us, folks, nothing is required of us for eternity. There's no eternal issue that is unresolved.
Right.
Michael said it perfectly to Doug earlier on the webcast. You are free. You are righteous. You are perfect. You're holy. You're sinless. You're blameless. You're without guilt. You're without shame. But the only thing that is required of us to have the effect on our soul, our emotions, our will, our mind, is the exposure to this power of God, this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is the power of God.
It's the power
how
of God.
Can we ignore it?
Well,
it is the power of God. Paul said the gospel is the power of God. Why would we think that we could walk around in life if we believe in God at all and then ignore his power? This is his power. The gospel of peace and the gospel of grace are the power of God to the saving of the soul. Does your soul need saved? Does your mind and your heart need stability? We all need the gospel. This whole planet needs the gospel. You say, well, some people don't need the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel. There's people who are not as damaged by religion as we were, but everybody needs the gospel.
Everybody.
Everybody needs this strong salvation of the soul that gives you certainty about eternity and lets you be free about the uncertainties of this daily life.
And lets you be free, folks, to primarily be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
So important in this life.
Yeah.
If you can't be honest with yourself, and most people aren't, of course, who are you going to be honest with? Who are you going to be transparent with?
Very true.
We have so many examples in our society of people that don't get what we've been talking about. Michael lives in Texas. Other precious, wonderful gospel revolutionaries are in Texas right now. And the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, Michael, just called on you guys to pray for rain.
Yeah. For the next 3 days.
Yeah. Because you guys got a fire situation. And he says, throughout our history, both as a state and as an individual, Texans have been straightened, they've been strengthened, assured, and lifted up through prayer. It is fitting that Texans should join together in prayer to humbly seek an end to the ongoing drought and these devastating wildfires.
And they did it in Georgia several years ago, and the prayers came and went, and the drought stayed for another 2 years until the drought went away.
Yeah, the drought went away.
And this one will go away, too.
For you guys that are wondering about that kind of prayer, would you participate in a Native American dance around the fire for rain? Would you do that? Now, we're not saying that God's not going to view you any differently. We won't view you any differently. We're just asking a logical question. We know that from one of the extensive teachings that Michael did on the meaning of being spiritual, that it means to have a rational, logical, mental, vital disposition. Would you participate in a rain dance? That is what the governor of the great state of Texas has asked his citizens to do, to participate in a rain dance. We can't recommend it. I'll tell you that. It's not beneficial. Paul said
where are the explanations going to come, Glenn, when the rain don't come?
And God forbid that the rain does come. As far as that's concerned, I mean, obviously.
What are the implications of that?
Yeah.
If it does come? Does that mean God answered? Does that mean that God, and so if God answered our prayers in Texas, does that mean that he didn't give a crap about the people in Japan?
Or Georgia?
or Georgia didn't answer their prayers. What about Haiti and droughts and floods in California? I mean, these things.
And in Africa, where they are doing voodoo chants and
absolutely.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Here's the thing: the gospel is the power of God, the stabilizing of your soul, the cleansing of your mind, the renewing of your mind, the cleansing of your soul. That's what the gospel is. If this is why Michael said to God one time, he said, "Do not heal me miraculously because I won't tell anybody." Because if somebody gets healed supernaturally, miraculously, from God, that and obviously so many people don't who are asking God, that would indicate that God favors some over others. God favors those who where it is raining, where there is drought, or an ending of drought. And we're here to tell you that it is our opinion that God doesn't favor anybody over anybody else. That's consistent with the gospel. That's consistent with the message. God loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but inherit eternal life. That wasn't talking about going to heaven. The experience, you guys that have been with us now for an hour and 45 minutes, you know that you're getting saved right now. You're inheriting in your mind, in your emotions, in your soul. You're inheriting that which has already been imputed in your heart. You don't have to look any farther than down in your heart, down in your belly. That's where it comes from. Everybody has that. God is not a respecter of persons. We cannot subscribe to the belief that God will put rain on certain communities, avoid other communities with tornadoes, hit other communities with tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis and earthquakes and nuclear devastation and not do it to other people. That is not the God that is revealed in the scriptures and that was manifest on the cross over 2,000 years ago. That's not the God that we understand. Sorry.
Yeah, again, it is placing certainty on that which is uncertain. And prayer or nothing else will change this life from being uncertain to certain. Nothing's going to change that. And the power of the cross has caused these two things to be understood clearly, that the spiritual burden that that man wound up placed under, Jesus separated that spiritual burden and took it himself, and he separated this incredible life out of that equation of spirituality. There's nothing spiritual about this life except that you are holy and righteous and perfect and one with God. There's nothing spiritual about you praying. There's nothing spiritual about confessing sins. There's nothing spiritual about anything you do. Spirituality is based in who you are, not what you do. Not one single thing makes you, not one action, not one thought, not one breath makes you more spiritual in the eyes of God. It doesn't make you more spiritual at all. It can make you more of an idiot, but it doesn't make you more spiritual. And
Wait. Apparently you know from whence you came, or from whence you spoke. It makes you more of an idiot.
Absolutely. I know the idiocy of this external spirituality, and it will lay on top of you like a heavy, wet blanket soaked with gasoline ready to ignite at any moment.
Michael just cut off. We'll get back to Michael hopefully. We're almost there, folks. I need to retell a story that I think that Greg Ambergy will allow me to tell. His folks, wonderful people, his parents called him in. Greg struggling in his business like so many people around the world. And his parents told him that they were going to plant a seed in the building program, the building fund for their church in Greg's name in order to alleviate his financial suffering. And Greg had a choice to make. And he said, "Mom and Dad, I love you, but please do not do that in my name. I don't believe in that. and I would appreciate it if you didn't do that. You know, do it, obviously it's your money, you can do whatever you want, but please don't do it in my name. And they understand that Greg believes the gospel. And, they at one point said to Greg that, when confronted with the gospel, they said, well, I mean, these are folks in their 80s. And they said, Greg, if what you're saying is true, then we've wasted our entire life. Which is not true, of course, because they've been wonderful parents. They've been phenomenal grandparents.
Yeah.
They have not wasted their life. They produced Greg Ambergy, who you hear on the show on a regular basis, that blesses so many people, not only in Cincinnati, but around the world. They have not far from wasted their life. But that's how important that they place, you talk about the uncertain, that they place on the uncertain.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they've placed their spiritual value on that, which is uncertain.
Exactly. And so, in the meantime...
So therefore, if none of this is true, then all of our life is in vain.
Right.
And like you pointed out, Glenn, I think it's so vitally important to be heard, is that why in the world, if your spiritual perceptions change, would you say that your entire existence was in vain? I mean, is that not obvious that we have placed the value of spirituality somewhere off in a la-la land that does not exist, that's not real? I mean, it can't be anything related to the plan of the gospel, gospel of peace, gospel of grace. Would never leave you in that position at all.
So anyway, this was many months ago, and all of a sudden, and the assumption, of course, is that they honored Greg's request not to do that. And Greg told me today that all of a sudden his business has started to pick up. And I said, well, you know why? And he said, why? I said, because your parents planted that seed. He goes, you're right, brother. He said, it has nothing to do with the fact that, you know, I've doubled my efforts and started calling my clients and started reminding them what a great real estate appraiser that I am. he said, of course, tongue in cheek. Yes, folks, there is logical, rational reasons for pretty much everything. And I'm so honored to report that much of this, in fact, all of this, is revealed in Mike's upcoming book that I'm having the privilege of reading and editing. And, of course, you will be apprised of the availability of that book. Go to gospelrevolution.com for everything that's available, including Mike's series that's upcoming. We haven't gotten Jeff Rowe's approval yet as to what it will be titled, but the series that came out of Mike's visit last week, or 2 weeks ago now, in New Brunswick, Canada. Want to thank Scott Johnson for sending this email. He says, this was yesterday when we announced the postponement of the webcast. He said, are you just celebrating 420 instead of doing the webcast? Jesus forgives you, but I don't. Just kidding, of course.
Which is his option.
Yeah, that's Scotty Johnson from Alaska. And if you're wondering the significance of 420, all you have to do is Google the history of 420, and you'll get all the information that you need, and you might learn something, too. And speaking of the Johnsons, the Johnson brothers, got another gift today. Love this guy so much. David Johnson from the great state of Illinois, the land of Lincoln, with his latest contribution, drum roll, please, of $15.47.
Yeah.
This guy, and you guys hear us talk about Dave Johnson all the time. He is also a great musician in his own right, but he just sends us gifts, you know, pretty much several times a week, if not every 2 weeks, and they're all over the board. But when you total it over the course of a month or 90 days, I mean, it's hundreds of dollars. And and Michael, as you have said so many times, it's not the amount at all, even though it adds up to a significant amount to help get this message out. But it's just the wonderful reality of being thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's that definitely lets you know that people are thinking of not only us, but the thinking of the gospel. And we appreciate it. It is not the amount. It's to know that you went through the process to click that button, you know, and it's a, you know, it is, I tell you what, cliche as it may be, it is the thought that counts in many of these situations, because I'll guarantee you that we've gotten like a dollar. I think the smallest gift we got from David was $1.
$1.
And I'm telling you, it didn't get the times that we've gotten several thousand from someone over the years. It didn't bring a bigger smile. Those thousands did not bring a bigger smile than that $1 did.
You know, so,
and,
go ahead.
You know, we're talking about the $1 instead of the big bucks.
Well,
we don't have any big bucks people anyway.
Well, we have some bigger bucks people, which we appreciate, of course, for the same reason. And but one of the gospel revolutionaries sent me in the mail a $20 bill and said, please give this to Sean O'Halloran.
Aww.
And let him go out for dinner or whatever he wants to do it. And I guarantee you, Sean, where are you? He walked away from the studio. Are you tinkling? He's getting a drink. And Sean, were you more excited about the 20 bucks or just that somebody sent it to you?
Oh, I thought it was definitely somebody sent it to me, because 20 bucks is 20 bucks, and that's, you know, that's nice. You go buy a little something with that, but it was just out of the blue that you had said did you tell him who it was? Okay, shit. Okay. That somebody thought of me and said they appreciated me.
And yeah. There's
feels
nothing.
Good.
It feels great. Listen, folks, there was somebody thinking about you on a cross 2,000 years ago, and I don't know how it worked. I don't know how the imputation of the condition of sin went into one man, took all of the law, took all of sin, took all of God's anger, all of God's wrath, all of God's judgment, everything that John saw on the day of the Lord and reported from the
Isle of Patmos.
Every prophecy, all of God's sovereignty, everything, all of God's, I don't know how it worked, but it worked. And here's what I do know, is that it works today. The contemplation of this, the power of God unto salvation. Salvation is different from redemption. Redemption was a fait accompli. It's done. Most of the people that have ever lived or that are living right now have no idea that they are one with God, that they and God are one, that we are one with each other, that we're one with ourselves. Our contradictions are at peace with each other. The lion literally has laid down with the lamb, and it's all good. It's all wonderful. However, but we do know that just listen, the people that call this webcast and you hear the stories, and this is not a unique or individual situation, and all that is required is that you continue to contemplate and meditate. And all that meditate means is to mutter, to talk about, to think about, to discuss this wonderful reality of the gospel. The good news, as Sean said before we ever went online, there is no bad news in the good news. Hallelujah. Well,
and that's good news.
I got to everything on my list. That was good. Two hours later.
That's it.
Well, I think, at least for me, folks, even though the Lightning lost last night to Pittsburgh, and again, kudos to George Howell for that, it was worth waiting an extra day for all this good stuff. And holy mackerel, what a show.
Absolutely. So, thank you, guys. We appreciate you, everyone.
We appreciate you, Mikey.
Listening live or archived.
Yeah, around the planet.
And we appreciate you.
Thank you. And over 160 nations on the planet right now, people are killing each other, literally, in nations that we're speaking to and the people are logging onto. So we love them, and God has imposed, without any permission, his love on them. They've been imputed with righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption. Somebody needs to tell them, and it is our pleasure to do so. Want to also thank Doug Bowman from Little Rock for his great participation tonight, Jeff Robertson from Florida, Greg Ambergy from Ohio, Sean O'Halloran standing 8 feet from me. Sean O'Halloran. I almost said it again. I called you Sean Halloran. Got to remember the O. It's the big O. And our correspondents around the globe for logging in to this here webcast. We're going to try to do it next Wednesday night, if that's all right with you, Mikey. Are you gone?
I am ready and willing.
Okay, that's what we like to hear. We will be in touch, and you be in touch with us, too, at gospelrevolution.com. And thanks to everybody. We love you, and much more importantly, you have been permanently loved by the creator of the planet, the creator of the universe. That's good news. That's the gospel. And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!